Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Cesternino, back here with a special podcast here today because we are gearing up for this week, the big drop coming to Netflix. It's going to be Love is Blind, season two of the hit reality phenomenon from 2 years ago. It's back, and RHAP has a brand new podcast to talk about it. And so today, we are here with the hosts of the brand new Love is Blind wrap up to tell us all about why we should be excited for season two. Please welcome in the co-hosts of the Love is Blind wrap up. We have first a woman who is covering all of the Married at First Sight for RHAP. It's Asia Welch. Asia, how are you?
Hey, Rob. I don't know what it is about people marrying people that they know little to nothing about, but I'm just like, oh, I want a podcast about it. It seems fun.
Yeah, it is wild. I've been watching highlights all day, and I can't wait to talk about it here today with the two of you. And of course, here with us, the co-host of the Love is Blind wrap up, it's Mary Kwiatkowski from Mary.
Oh my gosh. You know, my mom would probably tell me that I need to go on a show like Love is Blind because the dating apps have not been working for me. And that was supposed to be the draw, right? Mm-hmm. The normal style of dating's not working. So let's just put you in a pod. And
that's what we did. We put
all temptation.
We put the two of you in a pod you've never met before. Right. You're now married as co-hosts. Okay. Right. And then at the end of the season, I'm going to ask you both if you will take each other as your lawfully wedded podcast host.
Yes.
If we don't, then
there's no season three.
Yeah. Then we start over. We start over. Perfect. Okay. Love is Blind. I'm very excited. This was a phenomenon. And Asia, this was like right before COVID started. Everybody's talking about Love is Blind.
Yeah, literally, I remember time and place. It was right before everything shut down. And I was very excited about the show just because it's just like I've always been such a fan of Married at First Sight. And then Love is Blind brings an element that I feel like Married at First Sight needs, where you just need to know a little bit about the person. And I feel like you can, if you get the choice, then you have a little bit more stake in the game. Mm-hmm. Whereas like the challenge that Jason Reed and I see on Married at First Sight is that people don't have that choice. So therefore they're like, hey, I didn't pick this person. I don't have to stay with them. Mm-hmm. But at least Love is Blind, you are choosing the person. And so that's what I love about, like, look, it's on you. And if it works out, it's on you. If it doesn't work out, it's on you.
So in this podcast, we're going to set up a little bit of what the show is for the uninformed. We're going to tell you exactly how it's going to work, a little bit about what's to come podcast-wise. And then we're going to dig in a little bit to some of the craziest things that happened in season one. And this is a wild show. That there are incredible highs and lows from Love is Blind season one that we can only hope that season two will even come close to being as crazy as season one. So we'll tell you when we're going to start spoiling stuff from season one. Mary, it was February of 2020. I remember vividly, I was at the movie theater seeing the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. And when I was in the movie theater, Sophie Clark texted me and said, do you have a podcast about Love is Blind? And I wrote back to her. I said, no. Should we? Is it good? And she never responded.
Perfect. That's my favorite kind of question, right? The, I like this show, but is it good? You know, I don't really think of myself generally as like a dating show person. I watched The Bachelor before and stuff, but for me, it's like the manufactured drama is what kind of kills the shows for me. So when you have a first season of a new show, they tend to really, really go in strong of like, this is the serious dating show. This is the one where marriage is key. And I think season one really, really sticks with that. They take itself very seriously, at least the show and a lot of the contestants going in, which is why I liked it, because it was like, quote unquote, real relationship questions and problems. Like a lot of people are trying to really figure out like their red flags and could I actually be together. At no point in the show does anyone say like, oh, maybe this this system isn't really working for me or something. Like, everyone seems all in on like the format and the concept throughout. And I really enjoy that. But I'm hoping season two is going to be the same. We'll see. Season one was great. And so do we want to get into like what the format is then?
Yeah, I was going to ask Asia, can you explain how the show works for people who don't know and how it's different than Married at First Sight?
Yeah, so that's interesting you said that Sophie texted you about that, because that was before Class of 2020 started. So that was before I podcasted. And yes. I honestly went on reality TV wrap-ups and was like, is there a podcast for it? And I didn't say anything.
Not yet.
So I'm glad we're doing this. But yes, the format of the show, how is it different? So there are singles. You have men and you have women. And they are put into these pods. And the concept of the show is that you have 10 days to get to know someone on the other side to decide if you want to become engaged to them. If you make that decision to get engaged, then you can finally meet face to face. So when they're in their pods, they can't see each other. They can't see a glimmer of a shadow or nothing. So they're getting to know this person without ever seeing their face, which, hey, some people do that on dating apps and don't realize it. And so once they decide this is my person, then you'll have either the guy propose. And we also saw a situation where the woman proposed in the pod. And then once they're engaged, they meet each other face to face. They're whisked away to Mexico for a honeymoon. And then they come back and they have about 20 days until the wedding. And then it's at the altar that they decide if they want to get married or don't want to get married.
Yeah. And that is the great like a culmination of this show where that Mary sent me a video of all of the wedding ceremonies. And I'm like, okay, this sounds boring. I'm just gonna watch the wedding ceremonies. But apparently like the couples, like the moment of like it's basically the thing where like both of them have to turn their key. Like the minister asks them like, do you take this person? And then like, yes, absolutely. I love you so much. And then the other person's like, yeah, I'm not that into it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And
not for me.
The highlight of season one was the fact that we had some yeses. We had some nos. We had some men who said no. We had some women who said no. We had some people say no who everything leading up until that point we thought was going to be a yes.
Yes.
And we had a runaway bride.
Oh, so great.
We had all kinds of scenarios. So it was really, really fun to just see the variety there. And I think the big thing going into it, won't say who yet, but we had two couples make it through, say yes, and are still together to this day, three years later.
Wow.
So there you go. And, you know, says that love is dead?
Yeah. And the wildest thing is that they bring their families out to the ceremony. And then so sometimes these people get left at the altar in front of everybody. And it seems like the people that are leaving at the altar, their family has been brought out there. And it's not like the kind of thing where it just happens like in private, like on like some like soundstage that this is like a real, like, you know, humiliation, and it's on television.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally. So that's the key difference between Married at First Sight and Love is Blind. So Married at First Sight, it's pretty much in their contracts. They have to say yes. Right. But on Love is Blind, you go through the whole experiment is before the altar. And so once you make it to the altar, you have free will. You can say whatever you want. But I think so they have to make it to they have to make that decision at the altar, because some of these couples in season one, you're like, why would you even go that far to get dressed?
Right.
You know what you're going to say. We know what you're going to say. Maybe your spouse may not know, but they have to make it to the altar to give their formal decision, which is like the wild part because there's family and friends involved.
Mm-hmm. Mary, is the finale the weddings? Is that when the season's going to end?
The finale is the weddings, although season one, because it was so popular, released a couple weeks later a reunion show that was sort of on a stage with everyone together talking about where they are now. And then they even released a 2 years later, like special, 3-episode special that covered the 2-year anniversary party of the two couples and where they bring everybody back from the season one and find out like some of these people, you know, intermingled after the show. And then we've
what
got
do
some
you mean intermingled?
I mean, some people who had not paired up in the pods later got together. And some people who didn't quite weren't quite interesting enough to make it to the to be featured on the show were like, oh, now's my chance. I've been friends. This is my time to get some screen. So, yeah, it was good. But the way we look at this, I think, is like you've got the pods, then you've got the retreat in Mexico, sort of pre-marriage honeymoon. And that's where also all of the couples then see like who else became a couple, which brings a lot of drama because maybe you were deciding between two people in the pods and then you find out that your second choice, hey, they're still around on the show with you. Because then they move everyone into the same apartment complex for the next 20 days. So they get to hang out.
Okay. And then it seems like that there is some possibility that you can switch.
That's something that I would be curious to see if it happens in a future season. Because we got, well, I don't know if we got close, but we got in the realm of a triangle.
Okay. Happening. All right.
Yeah. Because it's like real world possibility. You could be engaged to someone. Four people could be engaged in real life and decide, I don't want to be engaged anymore and be engaged to that person. Mm-hmm. So in that way, but technically they're all engaged at this point. So all parties would need to agree, I would imagine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seemed like, not to get into spoilers, but in season one, there was at least an attempted swap that happened.
Yeah, there was at least some attempted sabotage.
So, yeah.
I think the show would love that. I think the show would love if there were four people and then two of them switched. Like, I think the show would really go with that. Yeah. But it is pretty, like Asia said, they're engaged. And that's like the one thing where if you're the kind of person who rolls your eyes on these dating shows when they start talking about being in love in a couple days, I mean, they've got like over a month. It's like 38 days, the whole thing, which is, you know, oh, come on, people, you can get married in 38 days. That's fine. But the fact that people will get engaged and then throughout the rest of the show be like, how dare they talk to me like that? Don't they know that that's my fiance? As if it's like real serious. Mm-hmm.
Asia, yeah. Could you just talk about, so I know we have the pods, I guess we go on a vacation, and then is there any other like place where we spend time with them before it's the wedding?
So we're spending time with them living day to day. So this is them really finding out how the person lives, and really it's wedding prep. Yeah. So that's the focus.
And do they all live in the same city?
Yes. So this first season took place in Atlanta.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, is the second season in Chicago? I think that's where I saw a casting call, but maybe they ended up going to a different city. But
not every person from season one was living in Atlanta at the time, but a lot of them were, like more than half. And a couple of them who weren't were close-ish. Mm-hmm. And so I think they were really trying to simplify things because they needed to be close enough that they move all the couples into the same apartment complex, sort of everyone's in an apartment, and then they'll do things like go visit their actual homes, mm-hmm. to be like, here's my apartment, here's my roommates, here's my house, here's my dog, here's my family. And so they kind of go through all those typical dating stages of like meeting the parents and mm-hmm. finding out what jobs you have. And they're really, really trying. Yeah. And unlike something like a Bachelor in Paradise, where it's like, we're going to put you in a dream scenario to try and find love. This is like, no, we're putting you in the real world. Check out each other's real lives to see if this is going to work long term.
Okay. Is there anything else about the premise of the show that either of you want to throw out there before we talk about some of the season one highlights?
I want to say that, like, there are a lot of shows, specifically Married at First Sight and The Bachelor, that they like to say this is like a blend of these two shows, that people say those work. But then we're like, we know they don't work because of the success rate is atrocious, right? But I personally think Love is Blind works. I feel like the concept works. And I think that's proof through some of the relationships that we did see play mm-hmm. out through season one. So if anybody out there is a skeptic, I would say give at least the first episode of season one a try. And you will see that, you know, we see that people can really get to know each other on a level that they're like, look, I think this is my person. If they go all in on it, they have no doubts about it. And then when they see the person, that kind of confirms like, okay, yes, this all works.
Okay.
So the concept works.
Asia, so are you saying that dating apps should get rid of all the pictures?
Hey, that is actually a wonderful idea. Is there an app like that where you just put like a little icon and then just talk endlessly to each other. And then
that
finally,
seems to be how a lot of dating apps work on television shows that I watch. It's like, I met a new person. Oh, this person is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there is a show about that. It's called Catfish.
Catfish.
Yeah. You know, I agree, though, that I think the concept can work, especially if you're the couples who really make it work are the ones who went into it very much open to the idea of like, I've tried the dating apps. It's not working. I think I'm getting into my head when it comes to my checklist of height, age range, ethnicity, whatever it is that you think that you're suited for. And then the people who are like, I'm just looking for personality and a connection, they'll spend 10 days making that connection. So when they do meet, they feel like it kind of doesn't matter as much what the person looks like. Also helps that they pretty much only cast hot people on the show. That's how it is.
There were no grenades in the pod. I think that would be a good twist.
That would be an interesting twist. I like the general part, and the thing that I was most wary about when I went into the show the first time was I thought the entire show was going to be the dating in the pods, mm-hmm. and then the end would be they meet and that would be the end. And so the part I really like was if you watch the first episode and you're like, kind of interested, skip ahead a couple to where they meet in person too, because it's a completely different show. Like the show goes through phases. The pod part is really like speed dating, and that's where a lot of the humor is. But if you're looking for like the real world drama, that comes when they actually meet in person.
Okay. Yeah. I'm saying if I had the Love is Blind application in front of me and the Married at First Sight application in front of me, not that that has ever happened under any circumstance, then I'd probably pick Love is Blind.
Okay. Well, I think that for Married at First Sight, like they take a lot of pride in that we scientifically picked out the perfect person for you. Mm-hmm. Like we don't trust you. you took a test. We figured out the best person for you here. Yeah. You do have some agency of you get to pick, you get to meet with all the people and say like, oh, I like their voice.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do I want to listen to this voice for the rest of my life?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, if you want to get into the pods with Asia and Mary, here's what you can do. Okay. We are going to tell you how to subscribe to the podcast. The Love at First Sight podcast feed is here, which will feature Love is Blind and our coverage of Married at First Sight. Get it all in one place. Subscribe at robinswebsite.com/firstsightfeed. First Sight feed, hit subscribe. You'll be all set for our season 2 coverage. Wherever you get your podcast, robswebsite.com/firstsightfeed. Okay, we're going to take a quick break because then when we come back, we're going to talk about spoilers and some of the craziest moments. You don't want to, if you don't know these stories, there's some good ones that happen in season 1 of Love is Blind right after this. Okay, I want to talk about some of the wild shenanigans that happened in season 1 of Love is Blind.
Yeah, where do we even start? I think we start at the top, the success,
yes,
and go from there.
Yes, right? Okay.
So we could start with who you probably pegged as fan favorite, right, Mary?
Yeah, the fan favorite, I think, by far, has got to be the Hamiltons.
Yes. The Hamiltons. Okay.
Yes. Cameron Hamilton and Lauren Speed.
Okay.
Yes.
So Cameron and Lauren. Let me I watched so many highlights. Me look. Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. All right. I know who this is.
So their origin story is just that Cameron is a white male and Lauren is a black female, and they do harp on this most of the season of just like love has no race, and so Lauren is coming into this. She's always dated black men. She's like, I'm going to be open. And then Cameron comes in. He hears her voice. Their conversation is just out of this world. They decide they want to get engaged in 5 days. 5 days, they realize, this is my person. I don't need the 10 days. Cameron was not focused on anybody else.
Okay. I didn't know you had 10 days to decide. I thought once you picked your person, you were engaged. When does that happen? At the retreat?
No. You have 10 days. Oh. If you don't decide in 10 days, you're done, right?
Yeah.
You just have to get engaged within the 10 days.
So they start off with, I think, 30 people. Is it 30 people or 30 couples? 30 men and 30 women. I think it's 30 people total.
Yeah.
So there's 30 people total who go in, and the show actually wildly underestimated how successful it was going to be in the pod phase, because we end up getting six couples who get engaged. There were actually 8 couples who ended up getting together, but the show was like, look, we thought we would only have 1 to 2 and we only planned for 5 and we're already stretching that to 6. So you two other couples, we're just going to have to say goodbye to you. Have fun.
It turns out
in the real world.
Yeah. People who came to be on a reality TV show, really wanted to be on a reality TV show.
Yeah, they realized they would not stop at anything. They're like, a proposal, that's going to stop them. No.
Right.
No.
16 right. people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really interesting how that goes. But the Hamiltons with Cameron and Lauren, the show tries to, like Asia said, the main sort of, I don't know, conflict or drama with them is like, oh, are they going to make the interracial, you know, thing work? Is that that's kind of our main thing? And the answer is yes, they are, because they fell in love and they're really genuine, cool people.
But
so,
things almost fell apart based on one of the clips that I watched where when Cameron went home to go meet Lauren's parents. And I don't even think that Lauren's parents had ever met any other boyfriend that she had ever had. And Cameron thought this was a good spot to perform that he used to be in some sort of a rap group. And so he rapped for Lauren's parents.
Look, Cameron had to show he had a little flavor, you know, like he had to show he could keep a beat. You know, at the wedding, he's going to be able to dance.
Put the mic down, bro.
Yeah.
Stop rapping. You're trash.
Wendell.
I thought it would be trash. Like, Cameron is a scientist. He deals with artificial intelligence, right? So I felt like he might have been a little bit, you know, straight and narrow. But I didn't think the rap was bad.
He was okay. It was fine. I don't think it was necessary for him to do, but it happened. They're great. You know, they're happy in the reunion show. We see that they're still happy and together, and they've got a big social media presence and stuff now. And I think my favorite part of them as a couple is just the way that all of the other couples look at them like, oh, they're like the ones who are so far above us anyway, so it doesn't matter. And there is some, like, that's kind of the interesting conflict in the pods, is that it's perfectly likely that some people are going to have, you know, their top three people may overlap with someone else's, you know, top three people.
Yes.
And I don't know what happened with Cameron and Lauren. I guess they just sort of paired up and were like, nobody else was interested. Nobody else got in there quick enough to scoop them.
Yeah, you know. I think they did right by getting in and getting out, you know, five days. They didn't give an opportunity for other people to take interest, and they fell in love. I think it was maybe like the third meeting they showed to us, at least, that they were saying, I love you. They were crying together. Lauren and Cameron really just, I mean, I understand that they only knew each other for 5 days before they got engaged, but they really, I forgot how much they tugged on my heartstrings until I watched their story back again, since now, you know, it was 2 years ago, but they truly love each other. Mm-hmm. 3 years later, they're still together. Just, they're still very happy. They've gotten a lot of opportunities to be as a couple. Cameron is madly in love with Lauren. It's just very apparent. And she has just fully embraced him. She's fully in love with him. And so I think that they were the perfect example of this process working, because give them a different situation where Lauren is meeting Cameron on a first date, I don't think they would be where they are today.
Yeah.
I think she might have met him and she was like, that was fun, but is that for me?
Can I go back to the pods? And when we're talking about how you get to go meet with different people, is there competition for different people that are sort of like doing well in the pods, where we have a couple of suitors vying for the same person?
Yes. And that develops into some drama throughout the show, because we don't get a ton of insight into like exactly what the format is of whether or not you can like request people or not. But it definitely seems like in the first stage, when you're kind of initially going through and speed dating with basically everyone, you kind of narrow down, rule out some people that are definite no's, and they're not going to force you to hang out with that person again if it's a definite no. You'd start narrowing it down. So let's talk about Barnett, because Barnett's the one who really is kind of like, he's got the pick of the litter here with the women. So there's three women in the pod phase who are really into Barnett, or Matthew Barnett, who goes by his last name because he's very cool.
He's a real voce.
Yeah, yeah. You got Amber, Jessica, and Lauren, except we already had Lauren Speed, so LC. LC is the other one. And these,
and to set the stage, for you to understand why he has three women vying for his attention.
Yeah, what is he doing?
Barnett is a smooth talker.
When
they introduced us to him, I was like, there's absolutely no way this man is ready for marriage. He comes off as a playboy, comes off as, you know, she sounds like she's really hot, or, you know, I'm used to being able to get, you know, any type of woman. He didn't say that, but he seems like he's that type of guy.
It's right? Implied. Yeah.
He's a smooth talker, and he does that with these three women, and they're just head over heels.
Which is interesting because he is kind of an enigma. He seems, once they get to the real world stage, like one of the people who's kind of most ready to get married.
Right.
Like he actually does appear to want that, even though he's a bit younger. I think he was 27 initially. But so he goes in, he's basically like, I'm going to just start dropping dirty jokes and see which women laugh and which ones don't. And so the ones that laugh, those are the ones he starts narrowing down to talk with. Amber, so one of his women who he ends up, they're the other successful couple, Barnett and Amber, who get together and they have their own drama, but they're still together 3 years later. They got married. Yay for them. But they have the most drama surrounding them because Barnett has to choose between three women. And he ends up narrowing it down to Amber and Elsie, and then picks Amber. But the main drama comes between him and Jessica, who is the other girl he's interested in. And he sort of tells Jessica at some point, like, yeah, you know, I really feel like I could see myself getting married to you. And she's like, okay, because Jessica's deciding between two guys. So she's like, I'm locked in on Barnett. Next day, she comes back for another date in the pods. So Barnett, what about that talk we had last night with the getting married? And he's like, yeah, I don't know how I feel day two. And she's like, oh crap, I gotta go to my backup plan Mark then. And she just goes out of there until she sees that Barnett and Amber get together once we get to the couples retreat. And then she spends pretty much the rest of the time trying to flirt with him, trying to sabotage their relationship, trying to tell Amber that he's not good for her, like just going off on a whole thing. And Amber's not really the kind of woman who's going to take well to that.
Now, Asia, I saw, I was watching some of the reunion show, and I saw this confrontation play out on the reunion show. Does it play out in season one also in the real time?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, Jessica spends more time trying to get Barnett to change his mind to be with her than she does in her own marriage, because she doesn't end up, or her own engage or her own relationship, because she does end up getting engaged. And we'll talk about that relationship because that is, you know, that's its own story. But with Jessica and Barnett, she was falling so quickly for him, and they just weren't on the same page. Like, he thought like, okay, she's top for me because we get along really well, but he always said, like, we haven't gone deeper, right? And so Jessica was so into him that she let Mark go. Barnett was ready, said, I'm not ready. So then she went back to Mark. And so she, in her head, it's always been Barnett. And it's just like, okay, well, Mark is willing to propose, so we'll go through with that. But once she sees Barnett and she sees that she's so attracted to this man, she couldn't let it go. And so that's why it's still something that is a story on, even after The Altar, which are the three episodes that came out in 2021, of, you know, they don't mess with Jessica because she was so disrespectful to their relationship the entire show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They spend that whole time referring to her as Voldemort, not wanting to say her name, avoiding her. It's great. But the biggest, the like sort of most flashy confrontation happens when they're living in the apartments and they're throwing a birthday party for Barnett. And Jessica gets a little bit tipsy, has quite a few drinks, and then tries to tell Amber to that she shouldn't be with Barnett and just spends a lot of time flirting with him. And I think the sad part for this whole show, like, Jessica's gone on. She's engaged now to someone else, like, good for her and all that. The sad part is she clearly never, like, went back and really watched it, because yeah. she still says, like, I don't even know what I did wrong. Like, why don't they like me? Like, why? Because I had a conversation with him. And it's like, oh, you need to take those sweetheart. Blinders off, sweetheart, and see what you did. But she's interesting. Her main issue, I think, is that she picked a different guy and then saw them in real life and was like, oh, wait, this is what I sort of gave up is yeah. Barnett.
Yeah.
Because that's the tough part, because, like, you see here, we're talking about Barnett and Amber, but Jessica is such a like, prevalent part of their story. It's because that's what they showed, like, even in the pods. Barnett was seeing Jessica as the leading lady for him until he wasn't. And we never even got a full explanation of why he ended up picking Amber. I mean, I'm sure that they had depth, but it's just like, that wasn't what was shown, because that wasn't part of the drama. And clearly they are a good match. They've been together for 3 years.
I feel like that in the clip I watched, Jessica was so drunk when she's talking to Barnett. I believe she said, you know, in... you know, the 48 hours a day, I feel like I spend 46 of them thinking about you.
Yeah. Right. Yep. That's that's like some Tony math.
Like,
that's for how days go.
It's pretty impressive. If you think about it.
Yeah, it is pretty impressive. And so in Jessica's, like, the other thing that's very cringy is that the person that Jessica does pick who proposes to her, Mark, on the show at least, it's different in real life now, but on the show at least, poor Mark is just like this sweet guy who just loves Jessica and wants to be with them. There's a 10-year age gap. He's 24 and she's 34. This is like one of the hot mess relationships, because he's like, oh, I'm not going to look at you as a mom. And she just, like, cannot get over that she's not very physically attracted to him. And the fact that there's Barnett standing over here as well. If Barnett wasn't in the picture, maybe it'd be different. But she spends the whole time trying to convince him that there's other things wrong with their relationship rather than just the fact that she's not attracted to him and that she's would rather be with Barnett, to the point where after they've moved into the apartments, they do a pod style date where he goes into one room and she's in the other room and they have dinner, because they're like, this is how we connected, you know, when we couldn't see each other. And it's so awkward. Yeah. So they're fun.
I mean, to be fair with, like, the Barnett and Jessica of it all, I think that if Barnett had picked Jessica, they would not still be together today, for one, because I feel like Barnett would have been the person that we saw in the pods, this, like, player. But I feel like Amber was such a good match for him because she wasn't afraid to call him out. He's a little scared of her. Like, he wouldn't even, on the after the altar, he would not even look at Jessica when she tried to talk to him and give him a gift. He wouldn't touch the gift. He's like, where's Amber? I'm sorry, I can't talk to you. Where's Amber?
He said, I'm not allowed to. I'm not allowed to talk to you.
Yeah. So I think that the fear that Amber puts in him a little bit and is what makes their relationship work. I think that they are a lovely match. So I'm very happy for those two couples. But yeah, Mark and Jessica.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we see Barnett as being this kind of, like, player kind of guy. But I think it also helps that Amber has so much more going on in her life that he's like, oh, crap, I got to put my big boy pants on and, like, fix some things, because she's got, like, she has this whole episode where she goes through the student debt she has along with the, like, credit
card
debt. She's unemployed. Yeah, she spent some time, like, couch surfing on other people's houses. She goes through and talks about, like, the multiple hundreds of dollars of, like, makeup credit card debt that she has and stuff. And so I think that that's whereas, like, Barnett, like, has a house and a dog and things.
Good job.
Yeah. And a good job. And their big conflict 3 years later is the fact that he sold his house to pay off her student debt. And they're now living with a third roommate in an apartment. But like they're married and he's like, mm-hmm. I want to like have kids and do this. And she's like, well, let's just do it. And he's like, yeah, we live with a roommate in like an apartment because I sold my house to pay off your debt. So it's interesting. But they have a ton of chemistry and she's very she's very spunky and like, it's interesting.
It's like where Cameron and Lauren just make sense. They work like Barnett and Amber. It's a different situation, but it works. So we don't have two very similar couples. Yeah.
Going back to Mark and Jessica, that was one of the rougher weddings that I watched.
Mark definitely. So, yes, in this wedding, Mark said, I do. Jessica said, I don't. Mark should have known mm-hmm. that there was a 0% chance that she was saying I do. But he just had that faint little like, well, maybe it's going to work out. Like, Mark, her attention was on Barnett for 46 hours in one day. Mm-hmm. How would she be? Like, the only way she was able to smile around you was when, yeah, like the situation Mary said, you are in two different rooms. She never gave Mark a chance the moment she saw him. Mark is an okay looking guy, but Jessica just doesn't attract him. That's
damning with faint praise, Asia. He's okay.
He's okay. I mean, and I think the thing that frustrates him is like, you knew the whole time, like, stop saying it's about the age, because I told you day one when I met you that I was 24 years old. And like, yeah. You knew that. And they do hit it off for a lot of like those sort of checkbox. Wait,
what's the
like,
age difference, the Mary?
10 years. He's 24 and she's 34.
Okay.
Which is a pretty big gap in that range. Like, don't get me wrong. I think that that's a reason to not be together, but she knew it the whole time. Mm-hmm. And they do get along. They're from the same area. They like the number of times we have to hear her say that she makes great Italian beef. Like, I don't know. I can count that on multiple hands.
Yeah.
She talks about that a lot. There, another big conflict with them and several of the couples. This show does dive pretty deep into the bedroom lives of these people. And he's the one who, once they get to the like honeymoon stage in Mexico, he's standing around. It's very like Greece, like girls over here, boys over here. They're talking. And he's like realizing that he's the only couple who has not progressed in the bedroom. And so there, you know, and of course you've got Barnett standing next to him being like, yeah, I threw my back out.
Threw my back? Is he okay?
Yeah, I think he's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Amber's wild.
Yeah. Amber's wild. Yeah. We find out that Cameron's a freak. Yeah. It's great.
Wow. Yeah.
But not so much for Mark and Jessica.
Not so much for Mark. Mary, if the producers tell you when it's the wedding day, like, all right, Mark, you're up first. Okay. Can you like defer? Can you say I'd like to go second. I'd like to pass.
Like, I want to hear what they have to say.
Yeah. Right. Like, that's a bad sign, right? Where it's like, all right, all right, you're going to go first.
Yeah, that's a bad sign. And I do wonder if they, because I'm sure the producers sort of have it locked in, like who's going to say yes, who's going to say no. And I feel like if I was thinking that I was in a pretty secure couple, but it's kind of, it's like what's behind door number one. Maybe if you think you're in a secure couple and they tell you to go first, maybe you're like, okay, well, maybe things are going to be good. And if you change it last second and say no.
Is this the Monty Hall problem?
It's like the Monty Hall problem. I know. Like, you gotta decide real quick. Like, do I want to be the thing to mess this up, or do I just shoot my shot and see what happens? Which happens a couple times. Like, that's the one moment from the weddings that the really boring couple, Kenny and Kelly, who the big shock with them is just like they spend the entire show thinking that they seem like the perfect couple. And then right before the wedding, Kelly's like, never mind, actually, I'm not attracted to him. And it's like, whoa, where did that come from?
We never knew that.
Yeah. So, but the big thing with them is like, he says yes, she says no. And then he has to like turn to their families and be like, well, this is obviously not the outcome we wanted, but thank you all for coming. And I hope you have a nice day. He gives a really nice speech, but
they had such little drama that it was like, okay, now we know he's happily engaged, may even be married at this point. And she's still single. So it's just like, they didn't give us much on the show, but I'm not sure if this was in the highlights you saw, Rob, but one interesting thing that Jessica had that went pretty viral on social media was she was having a conversation with Mark, drinking a glass of wine.
Oh yeah.
And then
decided
to share it with her dog.
Yes. Asia, do you share any alcoholic beverages with Pepper?
I do not. Pepper has not had a lick of alcohol.
Well, she's not old enough, right? She's got to be three.
And if that were ever the case, but no, I would never give her anything. But if I were ever to, hey, let's share water, she would not be drinking out of my water glass.
Yeah, this was wild, right? Because so she had like a glass of red wine and then she just like holds it like low enough. So like the dog can like stick its, it's not like that she like has like a little like a doggy, like a wine glass that she pours it into. She lets the dog sit, like forget wine. Imagine you were drinking a glass of water, you would never like let your dog like stick its like big slobbery tongue into the same glass. And that, and maybe Mary, because this is alcohol, maybe the alcohol is going to kill some of the bacteria. I don't know.
My two favorite parts of this are, one, the fact that they're having a super like serious conversation while this is happening, and her mind is so not on it because she says, it's not even like she just reaches down, she goes, he just loves wine. Like, as if this is a common occurrence. She does this often.
Yes.
So she says that, and also it's like, imagine, Rob, if you're like, you know, I really think that the most serious part of our relationship, our big issues, blah, blah, blah. Oh, she just loves wine. Sorry, what were you saying? Like, just not paying attention, and calls out the fact that her dog, this is a common occurrence. Those are my favorite parts.
Yeah,
Jessica is an enigma.
Yes, it wasn't the first time. And that's when I knew I can't trust this woman, because that just was not something you do.
Right. And not to mention, like, this is red wine. Like, I don't know what the carpet situation was in the house, but you like let your dog stick its muzzle in a glass of red wine. That's it. Forget it on the carpet.
It's a white dog, too. I feel like you're getting like stainage on the dog.
There's so many things wrong with this that it's hard to focus on one. And it's just like the fact that she thought this was okay.
Yeah.
It explains her behavior the rest of the season.
Yeah. It was a great moment.
That was good. And then my other favorite couple who, spoilers, doesn't exactly work out, although they got close, is Damien and Giannina, or Gigi, as she goes through most of this. They're like, I don't know. I hate to say this, but I'm going to. They're the toxic relationship. They're the ones who, and I like this about this show, is like, I like analyzing other people's relationships and looking at them and being like, oh, you know, you need to get out of this, or you need to witness this red flag. They're the ones with like constant red flags that are not created by the format of the show, that are just them as a couple. Like, they get together and it's so clear that they just like don't have good communication, and they're not a couple who works, but they both kind of like each other, and so that's like why they stick it out. They end up saying no. She's the runaway bride, which is the best part. But then they stay together for like 2 years after this, because they're still sort of together. I mean, it's a rocky relationship, but they're still together the 2 years later. They recently broke up, I think,
in 2021.
But which I would say for the best based on everything with them. But it's they have just like tumultuous lot of fighting throughout this.
Asia, the clip of her running out of the wedding is so amazing that basically like that it's Damien, right?
Yes.
It's Damien that he basically says like, yes, I do. And then she's like, no, I don't. And she's just like, and she like storms out, and then she's like escaping to like an Uber or something. And she's like running away in the dress, and then she wipes out in the mud, trying to get to this cab or a taxi.
The only thing I could think about was the dress. I'm like, this poor dress is going to be so dirty. She just out, like, it's dragging on the concrete. I wasn't even focused on her dramatics. I was just, that poor dress, I'm sure it was expensive. But yeah, Gigi is dramatic. Like, this was the only way I could see her reacting or deciding to express herself. And she's just that girl.
Well, she also, she's kind of like, gaslit. The wedding doesn't exactly show it, but like he basically spends the day leading up to wedding being like, I'm all in. I just need you to get all in. And she's the one who's wavering. So then last second at the wedding, she says yes. And he says no. And she's like, you've got to be kidding me.
I had it backwards. Yeah, sorry. I apologize.
It makes it so much more dramatic because you're like, oh, she was doing, she finally said yes. She wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Because she's all like, her and her mom, they're very like telenovela. They're very like dramatic. Like her mom runs after her and ends up, you know, having this whole conversation with her about how she deserves better and stuff. But yeah, it's the scene of her slipping in the grass with the big muddy stain on the back of her dress.
Yes.
So good. And that just goes on and on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things that happened with them from what I saw was that there was some talk about their love life.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And there was things that, like, I guess we're not going super great. And Gigi says to Damien eventually, she's like, you know how that you have told me that this, that our sexy time is the best that you've ever had? He's like, yes. Like, have you noticed I haven't returned the compliment?
and it's like so dramatic how it's filmed because you see him in the apartment sitting in the bedroom. And then in the same shot, she's like facing the camera, leaning against the counter in the kitchen and yelling at him. It's sort of pod style. They're not looking at each other. They need that separation. And yeah, it's so good because she's just like, very much the center of the narrative where she's like constantly asking Damien, like, you know how you do this and I don't say that, you know, like, oh, it's so good. And then of course Damien's like, well, I didn't say it was the best. Come on, Damien.
Their communication is just awful. Like, they just want to be the one-upper of who can say the worst thing to each other. So it's like, I'm sure Gigi had hinted at, you know, like, okay, maybe if you try this, that'll be better. Maybe you try that. And the fact that she had to call it out to him because he just wasn't getting it is like, that's annoying. But then he also, I feel like he's worse when he's with her, which is why I'm so thankful they're not together anymore. Because I just feel like they're better people without each other. It's just like, there's constantly throughout the season moments, and even into the after the altar, that they just try to say the worst thing to each other. It's like, two people don't have to say these things to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a fight where he's having an argument with her about how he just wants to talk to her, but she's always on her phone. And during the conversation, she picks up her phone and starts swiping on it. And he's like, you don't even realize you're doing it.
There's big crossover here. So you've watched a little bit of Too Hot to Handle, right?
Sure.
Okay. Season one, Francesca.
Yes.
Who's with Harry. Okay.
Go on.
She has befriended Damien. There were paparazzi photos of them leaving. Yeah. There are paparazzi photos of them leaving dinner and looks like they're holding hands. Hands are just a little close. Could be the angle. And she's on After the Altar, the three bonus episodes we got, and her and Damien are just flirting. And, you know, he's like, this is just my friend. And then he invites her to the 2-year anniversary party for the two couples that did make it, knowing Gigi's there. And at this point, Gigi and Damien are still together, but he invites Francesca, makes it a point to introduce her to everyone around the party. And Gigi's like, are you serious?
Yeah, what is that?
Literally.
Like, I don't know if he truly believes that he's the good guy in this scenario.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, this is being filmed and, like, Gigi's going to watch it later if you stay together. Because he's like, he goes out on this lunch, quote unquote, lunch date. They're just going to drink wine with Gigi. Very clearly just trying to get her drunk because he's like, do they have shots here? Can we get, what's your highest alcohol wine? And then when he asks her to come to the event with him, she's like, as your friend or as your date? And he's like, as my friend, but we'll see where the night goes.
Francesca had no idea that him and Gigi were still a thing. She just thought like, Gigi's
out with Francesca. And then, and what was this? This was part of the after the altar.
This is part of the after the
because,
altar.
Let me just say as a person in a relationship, I'm not even allowed to follow Francesca on Instagram. Let alone have a lunch as friends, no less.
Right. Yeah.
Where you're flexing and she's like, oh, you look good. And he's like, well, why don't you touch it?
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, this might be overcompensating after the, did you notice I didn't return the compliment remark?
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot, but I did laugh when I had, before watching that after the altar, labeled them the toxic relationship. And then he has this whole conversation about how he got Botox in his armpits. Yes. And Francesca tells him that that keeps the toxins in. And he goes, oh, am I a toxic person? Like, yes, yes, you are.
Absolutely.
Extremely.
You are the toxic person.
Oh, my God.
So they're fun. But, there's so much interesting stuff that happens in this show, you know, from people getting together. There is another couple who technically gets engaged and then they break up at the honeymoon phase. I am interested to know whether or not the show was like, look, we only planned for five. So which one of you is most likely to break up? I need that to happen. The saddest part about the Carlton and Diamond, I think, is just that in the 2 years later, it seems like Carlton has not learned or grown at all since then.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but.
So their story was interesting because Carlton and Diamond, they were pretty highlighted. Like even in the first episode, they were given confessionals. And then it comes out that Carlton has this big secret.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. What is the big secret? Well, he's bi, right? And he does not reveal that to Diamond before he proposes. So they get to know each other on this deep level. He proposes. Now they're engaged. They've met. And then he reveals it to her in Mexico, like, hey, I have to tell you like this big secret of mine. And he tells her that he used to date men. And she's like, okay, well, this is like, I just need to process this. Like, this is a lot of information, right? So she goes away. They meet up again. She's like, okay, well, I've processed it. Now I'm trying to like take it in. He's like, see, and he's already on the defense. He's like, see, that's why I don't date bees like you. That's why you need to fix your wig. He takes the ring and throws, and they just like, it's like,
it escalates from zero to 100.
Yeah,
so
she threw a drink on him. Yeah.
It's out there like, okay, I thought about it. I processed it. Like, I got some questions, but I'm still in it.
Yes.
And he's just immediately like, the fact that you even had to take a time to think about this. Like, you're the one who built it up as this big secret. Like, I don't know. It was a whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So Rob, you know the cast of Celebrity Big Brother, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Cynthia Bailey.
Yes.
Carlton used to be her assistant. It was like season, what was it? Early season of Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Did he draft the friendship contract?
I'm not sure. I do know that his most iconic scene on that show was him getting kicked out of a photo shoot because he was getting into it with another one of the housewives.
He was featured on the show.
He was featured on the show.
Got it.
Yeah, he came up, Carlton, Cynthia's assistant, and then he started talking to one of the other housewives and got kicked out of the photo shoot. So that was his claim to fame prior to that, yeah. And so now we see this new Carlton, and the odd thing about their relationship, they couldn't even make it through the experiment, and then he tries to somewhat get her back on the reunion because he's so sorry, and she's just like, no. I'm not into it. You disrespected me pretty bad. So,
yeah.
So, wow, couple.
So, any other highlights that you saw that you wanted to bring up, or did we pretty much cover everything?
I couldn't be more pumped up for season two.
I'm excited.
This show has everything.
My hope for season two is that they do keep the sort of like serious level up enough of like, hey, this is for marriage, like try to take it seriously, because I think that it's interesting to follow the drama of which people are actually compatible in real life in these real scenarios. It's less fun to follow like manufactured drama. My fear is that the show was so popular that you probably have a lot of people who just want to be on reality TV now going, you know, looking for this. Whereas with season one, you know, it was the first season, so no one really knew what it would be like. So they're all a lot more, you know, all in. One thing we completely didn't mention because it's extremely not important, but interesting fact, the hosts of the show.
Oh, Nick my Lachey, gosh. The worst, honestly, the worst part of the show to me.
Nick Lachey and Vanessa Lachey.
Yeah, yes. Except the most annoying part is how they introduce themselves every time they show up. And they're mostly in the pod phase and then the honeymoon phase. I don't even remember if they make it to the weddings. They do nothing. They're the least, like, they have absolutely nothing except for explaining to the audience how the show works. But they always show up with Nick going, "This is Vanessa Lachey." And of course, you all know I'm Nick Lachey. It's like, did we?
At this point, I know her better than I know you.
So yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He always introduces himself like that. And of course, me, Nick Lachey. And they do absolutely nothing.
They add nothing. I saw them in the season two teaser. I really hope that they're not. Maybe they did. I don't know. I feel like they're back. For some reason, they may be back. It would have been a perfect opportunity to get Cameron and Lauren, show a success story, show what people could be, but yeah, Vanessa and Nick, they are the least important part of this show. Like, the show does not even need a host, but they apparently want Nick and Vanessa.
Nick and Vanessa, they're back. They were hosting the reunion show.
They added nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Could we talk about just the format of how these shows drop? Because this is not like the traditional Netflix just drop the whole season on us. That they actually, I think, do this in a smart way.
Yeah. So the way they dropped season one was the first drop was 5 episodes, which took place all in the pods or at the couple's retreat in Mexico. So they kind of give you that first 2 phases there. Mm-hmm. Drop 2, which was a week later, gave you 6 through 9, episode 6 through 9, which were all the apartment living in Atlanta, meeting the families, learning about each other, and the bachelor and bachelorette parties, which was mostly just Jessica drama on that one. And then drop 3 was the weddings. And then they later did a 4th drop, which was the reunion show. Mm-hmm. So they separate them that way. It's pretty fun. I believe that our plan is to cover it with 1 podcast per drop. Mm-hmm. So they'll drop on Fridays, and then we will drop the episodes probably what, Sunday night or Monday-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have the weekend. That's perfect. Yeah.
You got the weekend to binge it, and we'll talk about everything, and at least it gives us time to predict which weddings will go which way. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that. I hope it's going to be good. The teaser that they've released so far for Love is Blind season 2, they're very deliberately like not really showing any of the people's faces. They're kind of hiding that, you know, keeping it blind so that we don't even know.
Wow.
So it's going to be, I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun. Yeah. Hoping to get at least 1 more Hamilton success story.
Right. Fingers crossed. Because honestly, because of the success of season 1, I was so afraid this was going to turn into like the Jersey Shore, where the cast is the cast and we're just going to keep getting specials forever with these casts.
Oh my God. Yeah. I know.
Because now that, you know, people are dating each other that were in the pods, it's kind of like how Bachelor Nation, people date people in Bachelor Nation.
Yes.
And we just have to watch it on Instagram. But I'm glad that they're doing a season 2. And like Mary said, I just really hope that people are here for the right reasons and that people actually want to get married, because otherwise it's just going to be, you know, the drama of it all. But we'll still watch.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else to set people up for Love is Blind?
Hey, if y'all are looking for more Love is Blind content before the episodes drop, there's the Love is Blind Brazil that's out there.
How is that?
Oh. I haven't watched it yet, but it's out there.
It's out
on
there.
Netflix.
It's out there.
Definitely check out season 1. And if you watched season 1, but you did not watch the 3-part special of the 2 years later, watch that, because it's not like a staged reunion show. It's more like the regular part of the season. So it's very interesting. And there's a whole lot of drama out of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to give out the podcast link one more time. Make sure you're subscribed and set up. Go to robswebsite.com/firstsightfeed because that's where you could hear all of the episodes of the Love is Blind wrap up and all of the episodes of the Married at First Sight wrap up with Asia Welch and Jason Reed. What's been going on Married at First Sight, Asia?
Whew, it's been a season. We have a couple that is similar to Jessica and Mark, where the bride is not attracted to the groom whatsoever and will not give him a chance. At this point, they are at the honeymoon and she's probably talked to him a total of like 30 minutes. And so she just, but the problem is she won't say she's unattracted to him. She just is bringing up everything else. Like, oh, your brother said this, or your friend said this, or I learned this about you from your friends. And it's like, no, you're just unattracted. You're not attracted to him. So please just say that, because otherwise she just looks like a jerk. So that drama has been there, but we do have a couple of couples that look very promising. They could stay together. Some that are just like, no, that's not going to work out, but I appreciate you for trying right now. So it's a good season. We just released an episode with Sarah Carradine last week, which was awesome. She's great. So definitely go check that out. But yeah, we'll be covering it every week. Season 14 right now, it's in Boston.
Okay. All right. And then, of course, we have so much Celebrity Big Brother going on as well right now. I know you're both very busy covering all of that. Mary, what else is going on for you?
Yeah, Celebrity Big Brother, of course, and eventually all the other Big Brother as that starts coming out. We're starting to hit that part of the year where I just only see Big Brother in my future at this point. we got lucky in the Riverdale season 6 continuation has been pushed a little bit, so we're on hiatus from that, but season 2 or book 2 of Twilight, so New Moon, is dropping over on Kowski Cast soon after we get our 2021 special. So look for that over on Kowski Cast.
You know, something else that the two of you have in common, besides wonderful taste in television shows, is that I am very lucky to be here with two of the greatest Twitter handles in all of RHAP. Where can people follow you two on social media?
Yeah, so you can follow me at Asia Like Asia, so AYSHA like ASIA. I was on the Shit 90s pod talking about Boy Meets World, and we talked about name spellings. And which led to my Twitter name, because people will spell my name any kind of way, right? They'll throw the Y around in different places. You know, I'll get ASIA. So they'll spell it different ways and then pronounce it different ways. So this Twitter name came to be because it's like, hey, I'll teach you how to spell it and how to pronounce it.
So yeah.
Okay. There we go.
All right. Yeah. And Mary.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yes. Frail Mary everywhere. Just doing my absolute best to take that on every single type of platform that exists. So you should be able to find that nice and easy.
Okay.
Right. I do want to add, I'm very excited to be podcasting with Mary, because I will say, anytime I'm just down, I need a good laugh, I turn on your impersonation of Frenchie from Big Brother. And I cannot help but like belly laugh. It's like the greatest thing I've ever seen.
We'll have to see with Celebrity Big Brother if there's one.
Oh, I was going to say, or on Love is Blind, will you play any characters?
Yeah. If we get anyone good, we'll have to see what I can pull out of my trunk of wigs.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. Well, this was so informative. I can't wait for the podcast coverage of Love is Blind. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of the podcast. And of course, in addition to Love is Blind, check out everything else we have going on with Celebrity Big Brother, The Amazing Race. And if you miss anything, catch up on our brand new The Weekly Wrap Up, where we're talking about all of the best moments and conversations that happen each week on RHAP. If you see something happening that should be in the show, send it in. robinswebsite.com/bestof. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.